Well, let's pray together. And today we're going to get on the road. We got to get on the road. How many of y'all going to be on the road sometime this week? Some of y'all just got back off the road. You were on better roads, roads to Florida. You've had to come back off those roads, but you've been on roads, been on roads. Well, today we're going to talk about a road where God meets you, and then you're no longer who you used to be, and you become what you actually can be in Him. Now, we've been going through this book of Acts, and it's the church unfolding. And I was asked the other day by one of our great participants here at Hillview. They said, when do you think we'll finish the book of Acts? I said, probably by the time we pay off the national debt, somewhere in that time. But I want you to travel, and we're going to go through this whole book for this reason. We need to see that the church is unfolding. I was asked this question. Is there a perfect church?
No.
But there is a church of grace that Jesus is the head of that welcomes imperfect people to the mercy of God so they might become what they really can be. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you believe God can do anything?
Yes.
How many of y'all have ever said this? You ever looked at some people and said, you know what? Hey, no way that guy would ever get saved. Any of y'all ever had that? Now, here's what I want you to understand, because this really confuses a lot of religious people. Religious people get confused at Hillview, because I'm not religious. Today, if the Lord Jesus Christ said, you know what, I'm a religious God, I'd say, I'm not following you. See ya. But what I'm so excited about, that's not the God of the New Testament. That's the one you and I made up. And I want you to see this because I want you to hear me. And you better hear me, church. I love you guys, but you better hear me. Because you know what? You're not listening. In America, we're not listening. Religion kills. It kills. It doesn't cooperate. It doesn't compromise. It doesn't set beside other things. It kills. And it doesn't matter what cup you put it in, it'll kill. Because here's what religion is. Man's attempt to be God. And any time we attempt to be God, it's messy. Because when people don't cooperate with us, we don't forgive them. We what? What's the quickest way to rid yourself of opposition? Come on, talk to me. Y'all stare. Get rid of it. So when people oppose what I want, get rid of them. Now, you don't have to answer this if you have your children with you. But if you ever had moments where you say, man, if I could just get rid of them, they're causing me trouble. How many of y'all have ever done that with a husband or wife? If I could just get rid of it, then my life would be better. Some of you tried that, and the second round was worse than the first. It's called marriage. It's called life. It's difficult. You got to embrace it. You got to live life. Does that make sense? So I pray today that we might hear what God has to say to us, okay? That we would really hear what God has to what? Say to us. Well, I want to tell you about a guy named Saul, Acts chapter 9. And remember, we've just had this conversions. Conversions are happening. Have you seen that? Hello? Conversions are happening in Acts. What's the church about? They're not out there, Elder Andy, they're not out there doing Bible studies everywhere. They're being Bible studies everywhere. They're not out there promoting a church program. The church is coming to life in their midst, and that's the way it ought to do today. Does that make sense? It's not go do something, it's become. There's the living God inside all of us who have received Jesus. Go ahead and just kind of look at your neighbor and go, He's alive in you. Kind of share that around each other just so you might know. Come on. Oh, that was so weak right there. That was just like weak. Go ahead and talk a little bit. I know y'all have all been on fall break. You got travel hangover just from driving. Okay, I'm not accusing of anything. And you kind of wonder, that's fall break. Do I really need to engage in God? Yeah, because God's going to engage you. The living Jesus wants to engage you. Now, Saul was an interesting man. I want you to get Saul right. I am so tired in American churches of hearing Saul preach so pathetically wrong. This guy is not a guy, just a good old boy who fell off his tractor and got hit by the gospel light and started preaching. Paul is an intellectual elite. Glad we don't have any of those in our society, aren't you? Glad we don't have a group that thinks they're smarter than everybody else and got it figured out for everybody else. Aren't you all glad that in this age of technology, Raj, we've so advanced ourselves? Really? Looks like nothing new under the sun. I mean, how many of y'all, watch this, how many of y'all really feel like it's called an intellectual elite class, and they feel like they know better than anybody else? Here's my only problem with them. They've never had a job. They're kind of like Sadducees. They're just born into it. They go to the right schools, the right place, talk the right jazz, and they are known as what? In fact, people ask me, Pastor Steve, now I'm telling you what, that guy over there is really smart. And I go, really? I said, can he change the oil in his truck? And they go, no. I said, he ain't really smart. Can he bait a fish hook? That ought to be the test. For anybody gets in leadership, they ought to be able to change oil and bait a fish hook. If they can do that, we know at least they got a grain of common sense. Paul's with the best of the best. I mean, Dr. Earle, he has been to the library of his time. He has studied this, and he's convinced that the way of Judaism is it, and there's no other way. Now, how many of you all have ever met a knucklehead? How many of y'all, like me, have some knuckleheaded friends? How many of you personally have been a knucklehead? That's why I have knuckleheaded friends. And you just convinced that the way you see it, the way you do it, that's the way it is, and nobody can convince you of another way. Any of y'all ever get it like that? If you want to have a limited life, then believe you're right all the time. If you want to limit your potential, believe you're right all the time. Believe there's no other way but your way. It causes a lot of problems. Hello? I mean, we're watching this landscape take. When I was studying this, I just think about all the stuff I read and hear during the week. And you know, we got a big problem. And the big problem is we live in a different gospel than the gospel. See, Jesus says, save the world. We say, save myself. True? Politically, that's why we have all these clashes. Because it's not about what's right. It's about, can I stay? How will this affect what? Me. Not, how does this affect? Now watch this. God is always concerned about your effect. What's Paul concerned about? Or Saul right here? Ooh, he's worried. These Christians, this movement, these people of the way, getting a little too rambunctious, brother. And Paul is on a religious mission with great fervor and passion and poise and accuracy to get rid of these people of the way. Now, originally, those who followed Jesus Christ, we weren't called Christians. In fact, the term Christian was created by Romans who made fun of the people of the way. And I wish this was our reputation. They go, oh, they're all a bunch of little Christ. Christian. Christ. Little Christ. But wouldn't it be great if the world looked at us today and said, oh, they're a bunch of little Jesuses. That's not what they say about us, though, is it? They go, they're a bunch of hypocrites. They're a bunch of religious what? Hypocrite. Prudish is what I find. Y'all know what prudish is? How many of y'all find you get around some church people, they got more complaints than they do praise? And we got a bunch of people in religion. Religion always looks at what is impossible. You notice that? That person will never change. They lie. They flap around. They do drugs. They'll never change. Barney Fife. Citizens arrest. I mean, they just always looking, hold on, Aubrey, to imprison somebody. Well, here's the problem. If you walked in here today and you already trapped in your sins, you're already in jail. Paul was imprisoned to his way of thinking. How many of y'all understand the way you think is the way you become? Am I not telling you the truth today? If you think you're sorry, how will you behave? If you think you're beautiful, how do you walk? You can tell women that think they're beautiful. Y'all ever met a woman that thinks she's beautiful? All right, I'm gonna see if y'all awake. Y'all ever met a woman, thought she was beautiful, and nobody else agreed? We can think some things that'll get us in trouble. Hello? In fact, one of my prayers constantly, and Elizabeth prays this with me in unison, I pray to God that my mind won't falter when I get old. Because nobody, I do not need to blurt. Because I'll be blurting stuff that nobody wants to hear. And Elizabeth will be, I have this, and that's why I say, Lord, take me on before it happens. I need to be like Elijah. Let me have one great Harley ride into the sky. You know, because Elizabeth will be escorting me around. If you don't shut up, I'm not feeding you for 3 days. In fact, I fear I'd blurt so bad she'd put a shock collar on me so that when I'm out in public and I get ready to say something I'm not supposed to, she'd just jar down on it. And most of the time, I just sit here like this. You know what I love about people who are seasoned? They just say it like it is. Have you noticed how the closer you get to heaven, the more you say to the hell with the world? Now, see, some of you right now, you didn't hear a thing I said. You're trying to figure out if I've cussed or not. No, there's a pattern. The closer you get to Jesus, you understand hell because now you're in sight of heaven. I don't use the word Hades because it's not Hades. It's hell. I've never had anybody come into my office and say, Pastor Harris, I have some Hades in my life. In fact, I got a problem. I've been out raising Hades all the time. What is this, Disney hell? In fact, you locked me in that it's a small, small world, and that would be hell for me for a long time. Now, look, there's life going on. And Saul is so convinced that he's right, he's willing to kill. Hold on. Did you hear what I just said? He's so convinced that his way is the way, he's willing to. Now, before you write Saul off and say, how can a human be like that? Think how many things you've killed because you were convinced you were right. How many opportunities have passed by? How many situations didn't come to their fruitfulness because you were so convinced in your way you couldn't see his? See, these are people on the way. Let me show you. Chapter 9, verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was plotting. Doesn't that sound familiar? Yes, sir. Believe me, he knows more than most of us in this room. He does. You'll see one day in the day of glory. You see, because Nathan, what the world considers sophisticated, God sees as foolish. And what the world sees as foolish, God sees his glory. Be very careful to write off the little things in life. God meets us in strange places. How many of y'all have ever met Jesus in a strange location? Just a strange location. I always thought God was going to be in a bar. I just knew it. My parents told me never go in one of those places. I didn't listen. I remember the first time I ever walked into a bar, I just knew God was going to strike me dead right there. And they were going to drag me out of there dead in that bar. And my mom was going to look and say, I told you. I saw a lot of people in there that looked like Jesus, long hair and a beard. I just knew one sitting on the third stool was at him. So I left for a moment, but I went back to check again. How many of y'all got your own way? How many of y'all so convinced of your own way you can't hear his? Now, church, hear me, I love you, but Jesus even loves you more than that. Guess what? If we don't get in God's way, then we suffer our consequences. Did you hear what I just told you? That didn't come out of my mouth, so get that one. If we live in our way, we'll suffer our what? Consequences. Well, here goes Saul. He's off. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. Now, for those of you all that want to politically correct Jesus, he does not exist. Jesus has always acted up. Jesus won't do it our way. He won't agree with us. Lanny, he tells people that they're whitewashed tombs. This tends to get people upset. He tells other religious organizations that they're a brood of vipers. This tends to get him a little political chaos. He tells people that the least of these will be the greatest of these, and the greatest of these won't even get to show up. This incites who? The intellectual elite. Because they figured it all out. How many of y'all figured it all out? How many of y'all been 21? Some of you are there. Some of you, that's a distant memory. Some of you are saying, only again. But how many of y'all remember being 21? Anybody in here remember being 21? Raise your hand if you want to be a volunteer. Oh, come on. All right, we'll use Elizabeth. Elizabeth! Did you know everything at 21? No. But I thought I did. How many of y'all, if you are 21, I know right now you're going, what's the brother talking about? Of course I know everything. I'm an adult. Who said so? They. Who are they? A group of people that agreed once you hit 2-1, you're an adult. I know people that have 6-1 that have not reached adulthood yet. See what I'm saying? It's not our way, but his way. Saul is just mad and he's screaming and he's yelling and he's talking about these people who are following Jesus and they're idiots and they're foolish and God would never work in that way and God would never crucify himself and God would never be resurrected. That's not the way God's going to do it. But guess what? That's the way God did it. And Saul's upset with it. How many of y'all have ever got mad because God blessed somebody you didn't think deserved it? Come on, be honest. Get down in the honest corners down there. How many of y'all have ever had a friend that really was celebrating a successful moment and you couldn't celebrate it because deep down inside you're going, I can't believe God blessed that scoundrel. Doesn't God know they've done? How many of you all always know everybody else's sin better than yours? You wouldn't believe all the things I've done that I've heard about that I've done in the community. Told by fellow colleagues. And I was like, man, I know I did some of it. But some of it they made up, Sheriff. Most of it, what you've heard, they've made up. I'm really convinced of that. But why? We want to save each other. And we think that by saving each other, that's not really what we're about. We won't save ourselves by comparing ourselves with each other. Yeah? How many of y'all have ever done this? I'm bad, but I'm not as bad as Bob. Isn't that right, Bob? And you might say, yeah, I'll tell you what, I'm bad, but I ain't bad as theirs. How many of y'all have ever said that? I'm bad, but what? Not that bad. Told y'all that story about that poor preacher, didn't I? Have I told you that story about that poor preacher before? Poor preacher. He's poor. We want to make some money. He's down at a country store, and they came in, and he said, preacher, I tell you what, we'll give you $100 if you can say anything good about old Joe. And old Joe was bad. I mean, he ran women, drank whiskey, gambled all the time. I mean, he was the town scoundrel. He said, I'll take you up on that bet. So, I mean, the funeral home is packed. Funeral home looked like a Bowling Green High won Central football game that day, okay? I mean, everybody is there. They're there. He stands up, the old preacher does, and he said, I want to tell you, because there was a bylaw to this deal. He had to tell the truth about Joe and say something good about him. And man, he went at it. He went at it, brother. He went at it. He said, old Joe ran women. Old Joe drank whiskey. He said, old Joe steal you blind if you didn't watch him. But I want to tell you the truth. Compared to his brother, he is a saint. Now, isn't that the way we try to save ourselves sometimes? Hello? But compared to Jesus, all of us are in trouble and we need God. Now, Saul is upset that God's not doing it his way. How many of y'all have ever been like that? Now, listen, we're going to draw this message to a close. Be careful. Look on the road today. Jesus will show up. Paul went to the high priest, and guess who he's going to find? The high priest. Paul's on his way, but guess what? He is, can I use a Kentucky term? Fixing. You don't get that in New York. That's why things aren't fixed up there. They don't know about fixing. Paul is fixing to get a new life. Now, is there anybody in here today that needs a new life? You're fixing to get one. Paul's on his way. He's mad. He's corked up. Nathan, he's got horsepower behind him. The high priest has given him the letters to go get the people in Damascus. And look what happens. So he left. And he's on his way to arrest men or women that he might take them prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. How many of y'all need a little suddenly? How did God move here? Come on, help me. How did God move here? That right there indicates that God is not a Baptist. That's not the way we do things, is it? God is not following what? Procedure. Or what? Somebody said the other word too. Protocol. I mean, God should go through the high priest, but here he is. God's just showing up suddenly. I want you to know things can change in your life. What? Now we know that, don't we? Yes, we just living life. How many times can things just change suddenly? Just boom. Twinkle of a. Suddenly things will change. That's why I tell everybody that's married, just hang on. Suddenly. It makes sense. Hang on. What? Suddenly, God awakens it. Now, Paul's, this Saul dude, brother, he's after it. How many of y'all realize this is the good news? When you after it, God might be after you. Amen. Now, guess what? No, Paul went. Paul went to the high priest to get permission. But let me tell you who's on the road. The high priest. Jesus himself comes suddenly. A light shone around him. How many of y'all need a little light on the situation? But you don't need your light. You need what? His light. But how many of us get caught up in our light? In fact, we had a whole movement in our country called the Enlightenment. Enlightened to what? Our own understanding, our own intellect. Now, I'm not bashing intellect. I think God makes some of us smart. But I don't think God makes any of us as smart as we think we are. Is that fair? He said, well, I can understand an atom. And I said, I can't, but I know who made it. Well, I can understand people. Now, here's a great, if you can understand a woman, now you have hit intelligence. But let me help you. If any of you men going, well, I can understand one, you have just confessed your unintelligence. Some things need to be left a mystery. Amen. God and women are two of them. Now watch this. What about Paul? What about old Saul? Did he ask God to come or did God just come? Sometimes God just comes. Suddenly. Now I'm sorry. I know y'all, you know, we just kind of want God to do it on our own terms, but he doesn't do it on our own terms. But we really want a God of our own terms, don't we? Can I ask y'all a question? Why do people believe other people before they believe God? God of their own understanding, God of their own terms. Here's the good news. The God we worship at Hillview, whose name is Jesus, he doesn't come on our terms. Isn't that cool? And Saul wasn't doing one of those Captain Dans on Forrest Gump. Remember that movie, Forrest Gump? Remember Captain Dan? They're out on the shrimp boat, the Bubba shrimp boat, and Captain Dan's up on the tower, and it's storming, and he's going, give me all you got! I'm going, Dan, praise be unto God that God's a God of mercy and a God of grace and a God of love and a God of hope. Because guess what? God doesn't have to send a great wind. He just has to go, Dan, no more. If he can speak you in, then what does that mean? And God speaks. Look what happens in this moment. A great light is surrounding. And guess what? Paul immediately falls to the ground. And he heard a voice say, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Now, I got some good news here. If you're in Jesus, they're not coming after you. Somebody just look at your neighbor and go, really? Come on, come on. Oh, y'all got to do better than that. Really? Because I'm tired of hearing this. Well, the church is being picked on. Baloney. World's mad at Jesus. World's mad at Jesus. Jesus, you're not doing it right. You're not politically correct. Jesus, accept our sins. Jesus can't do that. Jesus can't accept our sins. Our sins are repulsive to God. And I don't care who says it's right, it's wrong. There's things that are just wrong. They're disconnected from the kingdom of God, and they will never be made right. You can vote all you want. We've spent an eternity of our human energy trying to normalize sin. This is the way we try to go. Well, it's not that bad. Well, just think about what we just said. We've already confessed it's not good. It's not healthy. What about this one? You hear this? It won't hurt anybody. You sure? It what? How many of y'all think you can sin by yourself? That's another lie of the devil. Well, this is just my sin. But ain't nobody sins by itself. If you tear up your body, you want everybody else to pay for it. True? See, why is it we like to destroy by ourselves, but we want everybody else in the repair? Just an observation I've made. We want to be independent till we mess up, and then we want a group hug. I did it my way till I messed up. Hello? Am I making any sense here? Because sometimes I don't make sense. I don't want to make sense. I want to show truth. And check this out, man. Paul is on the ground. Here's Mr. Saul. Here's Mr. Intellectual. Here's Mr. I got my Judaism down. Here's Mr. I got the right name, born from the right tribe. Everything is good with me. And he's going after these people that Jesus is reaching. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute who? Me. Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus. That's all you got to say. Does that sound familiar? Bush burning. Sandals off. Bushes talking. See, what wouldn't have messed with me? The bush being on fire wouldn't have messed with me. It's when the bush talked to me, that would have disturbed me. If I'd have been Moses out there. I've seen burning bushes, but I ain't seen burning talking bushes. See what I'm saying? And what did Moses say? Who are you? God said, I am. I just want you to know God's always who he is. Saul says, Lord, like, is it you? Who are you? I am Jesus, he replied, whom you are persecuting. Now, here's what I want you to know. They'll get me, they'll get you. Hello? People can get me. Can people get you? Don't ever think you're invincible. That's a good way to collapse. Y'all ever heard these people say, man, I run 10 miles a day. I'm healthy as a horse. I'm in my 50s and feel like I'm 21. And then you read on the weekend, they passed away. You know why? They ran too much. You knew I was going to say that, didn't you? Yeah. I mean, I don't get it. You know, I'll be at the gym and people be my age and they go, my legs hurt. I said, quit running. They said, well, I need to lose weight. I said, don't you know? I said, I've seen fat people and skinny people. And guess what? They're both dead. One's just happier than the other because they didn't eat cardboard for 20 years. Now, look, who are you? Who are you? I am Jesus, the one you're persecuting. Now get up and go into the city and you will be told what you must do. I want you to know there comes a point where when you realize who Jesus is, you're willing to follow him in what he wants you to do. What's he doing? Go, go, go. That's the rhythm of the New Testament. And in the American church, we have sit and reflect. Process. Organize. God says, go and I'll show. Go and I'll show. You know why a lot of you don't know Jesus in a deep way? You won't go. You won't go to the altar. You won't go to prayer. You won't go to worship. You won't go and do what God tells you to do. I'm going to tell you something. Is everybody listening? Just fake it if you're not. Say, yeah, I'm going to listen. Come on, tell me. Talk to me. I'm going to listen. I'm going to listen. You do what God tells you to do and you'll see who God is. But you're not going to do it till you what? Go. How many of y'all got a postcard Jesus? You see what he might look like, but you won't go to see what he really looks like. There's a difference in looking at a postcard from Florida and going to Florida. You can smell it when you get there. Postcards don't smell unless they got scratch and sniff. You know, smell the ocean. No, I want to be there. Do they have them? It's a good idea. Somebody market that, make $1 million and tithe. It's a freebie today. Scratch and sniff postcards. Now, that'd be good if you could do those for hotel rooms so you could smell what they really smell like before you got there. How many of y'all have ever seen one on a postcard, but they didn't tell you how it smelled? I'm not even going down that road. Go into the city. But guess what? It was hard for him to go because now follow me in this sermon here. The high priest had blinded Saul to who he was. I've always wondered why Saul had to be blinded. And the reason he had to be blinded is because he could only see who he was. He was so absorbed in who he was, God had to blind him to who he was to see who he is. How many of y'all need to be blinded a little bit today? All you can see is you. Sound like a country song, don't it? All I can see is me. Can't see who's beside me. Can't see who's around me. Can't see who created me. Can't see who's guiding me. Can't see who provides for me, because all I can see is who. So that light of God, man, that light of God hit God. That light that came from God hit Saul. He goes down to his knees and he said, I got to take you into Damascus because you need to be blinded to what you were. So you might see what? And let's take that one out on the streets this week. You know what's so cool? You know what I love about pastoring? None of us know what we're going to look like. Pretty cool, isn't it? Because you know what? Some of you need to be blinded to who you are, what you think, so you might see who he is. The men traveling with him, they stood there speechless. Yeah, I bet. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. Now, I want to give you just a point here. Saul is literally what? He cannot what? How do you help blind people across the street? You would hold their hand or hold their arm? That's not what we do in the church, though, is it? We scream at blind people. Can you imagine being blind and somebody's coaching you across the street? I mean, to be obvious, you're blind. And, watch out for the truck. I mean, they'd be giving you so many instructions. Before long, you'd be doing a Cupid shuffle right out there in the middle of the street. But this is what the church is. We yell at lost people like they can see. They can't see. We don't make sense because Jesus hadn't touched them yet. We give them rules without understanding because you know what? We yell at blind people. Billy Lowe says it better than anybody. You ready for this? This is Billy Lowe, Warren East theology. Lost people act lost. You know, most pastors don't know that. They say, well, I don't understand why they're doing that. Because they can't what? Which is, Paul couldn't do it till he could. All right, I'm about to wrap up. Y'all paying attention? Eventually, you got to ask God to help you. Yeah. Everybody thinks they're right till they see what? Differently. The one. Jesus. You've had experience with that, haven't you, Nathan? You know what? Some people see you in a wheelchair. I've never seen you in a wheelchair. In fact, sometimes when they go, you know Nathan, I go, yeah, he's a smart aleck. What? He's brilliant. What? You see, sometimes we're so Saul-like that we can only see what is. But if we want to live in the spiritual, we got to let God show us how to see. So there have been a lot of people say, no way Saul will ever come to know Jesus. But guess what happened, Nathan? He came to know Jesus and then wrote one third of the New Testament. I relate to Saul because I had a lot of people in my life that said, no way he'll ever preach. I've had a lot of people say this about this church. It'll collapse soon. I'm convinced if Hillview reaches people for 100 years and on its 101st year, it starts dwindling a little bit, they'll say, see, I told you. And the reason that'll happen is most of us will be dead. But I hope we'll even leave a legacy that the next generation wants to see Jesus like Jesus wants to be seen. Look through Jesus. And then he told him, you go for 3 days and I'll give you further instruction. Now, next week we pick up there. It's a two-part sermon. Will you go to where Jesus shows you to go? Today, guess what? Some of you are brought here for the distinct purpose. For some of y'all wondering, what in the world am I doing in church today? This could be possible reason. You've convinced yourself you can't be saved. You know, I just, a lot of people convince themselves they can't be saved. And the reason is because you've heard a bunch of religious people tell you that if you do this, God won't love you. Well, I want you to tell you, that's not what God said. Anybody want to hear what God said? I mean, what the one really said. He said, whosoever believes in me will be saved. He said, what about all the rules? You know what I say? Let Jesus come into you, and I bet you and he together can figure out what to do. You know what a lot of people do? They're trying to clean up before they take a bath. Y'all have seen, how many of y'all clean up before you take a bath? Try to straighten up before you take a bath. Nobody does that. Just come. You say, well, it can't be that easy. It wasn't. Jesus had to die on the cross. Jesus had to take all of our sin. And it's sin. And I'm going to come hard against it because guess what? Jesus died for it. Some of my colleagues are so scared to mention sin. Well, Pastor Ayers, we listened to one of your sermons and you're a hard man. What does that mean? They said, don't people get offended? I said, yeah, but they got offended with me before I followed Jesus. I've always ticked people off. You know why? People are easy to tick off. You know why people get ticked off? You know really why people get ticked off? We hurt and wounded. And guess what else? We think people care. We think we rule the universe. You know what I know? I'm going to be dead, and guess what? Nobody's going to remember much. That's the truth. Elizabeth will remember a lot, but that's about it. I live on a planet with almost 7 billion other human beings. Jesus loves them too. Jesus wants them to reign in heaven. And I think we need to ask God, in some pivotal moments, God, please blind us to what we once were so that we might see who we could be. Mama T, I've watched this sermon in your son. I love the way God used you and is using you. It's not over. It's just at a different phase. Rocket stage two. You never would let your son listen to an excuse to not be successful. First time I met Mama T was on the football field. Her son had not run a play well. Coach Cox and I were standing by the fence. He came waddling over to the fence. He's just 12 years old. She said, I'm going to wear your head out if you don't get out there and play like you're supposed to play. I turned my head. I said, my God, there is one parent left in the world today. This is a mother. She didn't say, oh, you little precious baby, or they beating your head off.
Come over here and let me help your little dysfunctional self.
She didn't tell him why he couldn't do it. She blinded him to impossibility and installed into him a successful way. He had forgotten. He weighed more than everybody else. 2 plays later, he was handed the ball. He came over, complained about a sore knee. I remember it like it was yesterday. He lifted up that knee as high as it lifted, and it lifted. And the next thing we know, he's running in for another Moss Mustang touchdown. I said, my God, my God. Somebody still believes in pushing children. Crazy. It'll work. Now they'll fight you. Clacy had to do one of these junior miss things. Thank God it's over. We had to go back for the release of the crown title or whatever it is. I don't know much about these events, but I was sitting there and I kind of perked up because she thanked me for something. I went, oh my gosh, I have had some involvement in this young lady's life. She said, I'd like to thank my father who never one moment of my life allowed average. My kids have heard this sermon from day one. I hate average. I despise average. God is not average. Those words are not found in the Bible. Jesus did not crucify himself so that we could make a C. Jesus crucified himself so that we could see an excellent way and go live it. And why do we not want to embrace it? Because we get like Saul. And we need to realize God has made us Paul. This is next week's sermon preview. Only Jesus can make it possible. And he'll change your name, your attitude, your past, your present, and absolutely your future. But listen, a lot of people don't like Jesus. They do not like Jesus. When you get around Jesus, guess what you don't have anymore? Is that all right? Don't have excuses. Remember that, Ashton? No excuses. Well, Mom, I just, no excuses. Just goes. Let me ask you a question. What if God eliminated this church of all excuses? Wonder what would happen in this place. What would happen to you if you got rid of your excuses? How many of y'all got friends that keep you accountable to not excusing yourself? Pastor Jamie's been busted on me. I'll give you an example. I get busted on all the time. Jamie came in my office. He said, Ayers, you're getting old. You need to mentor young pastors. I said, yeah, I need to whip an Ohio State fan today is what I need to do. Man, I didn't want to hear that because guess what I didn't want to hear? I didn't want to hear that it already happened. Because, Andy, I don't feel like it's happened, but it's happened. I get emails now, Dr. Ayers, when you were a young pastor. I've noticed nobody in the community calls me young pastor anymore. Joanna, you remember what they used to? They used to call me pastor. I know what's next. Oh, God, that old pastor, when will he retire? That's next. You know what comes after that? Dead pastor. You know what? Jamie was right, and I got with this young guy, and I actually poured myself into it. Did what God asked me to do. He sent me a text back, and guess what I had to do? This was the roughest part. I had to call Jamie. And guess what I had to tell Jamie? You are right. He said, you can't see it. But he said, if you're not willing to pass it, you're being a man of injustice. That hurt. But guess what it was? True. So I needed to be blinded so I could see. You know why I didn't want to deal with it? I have to deal with religion. I didn't want to have to go back and deal with religion. I bet Saul didn't either. But when he became Paul, he had to go back and deal with what he was to show them they didn't have to be that. Amen? All right, has this made any sense today? Y'all been beautiful today. I hope I've preached well because y'all have listened well. I don't know. Today, some of you were brought here so that you might be saved. That's why you're brought here today. Hillview Heights is it. We're at least a launching pad for heaven, okay? This is kind of like the entry part of the airport with no security. See what I'm saying? And so today, have you really had an encounter with Jesus Christ? If not, whosoever. Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Son of God, what does the scripture say? Will be saved. I don't know what people don't understand about that. I'm just telling you what he said and I believe it. Some of you today need to say, Lord Jesus, I have sinned against heaven and earth. Blind me to what I was and come into me so I can be what you really made me to be. That's the energy in this room. Amazing grace still goes on here every Sunday. I was blind. Now I see. You know what I see? Anybody can be saved.
So, Pastor, what about people have done?
Tell you what that light on that road said. Why do you persecute me? Not the world. Me. Not the preacher, not the church, not the deacons, and not all the hypocrites. Me. It all comes down to where do you stand with Jesus? I don't want to stand there with Jesus. What'd Saul do? What? I'm only going to do this one time. Everybody watching? I pay a price on this. He fell what? What was he doing down here? This is the testimony. We pray on our knees. We need to do it a little more in our churches. We pray on our knees because you are God and I'm not. That's why you fall to your knees. You're God and I'm what? A lot of us would rather stay up here and say, well, God, in fact, y'all remember that obnoxious bumper sticker back in the 70s? It spoke the truth of our nauseating theology. God is my co-pilot. Well, if he is, you're bound to crash. Because you're not the pilot. In fact, God is the pilot, and I'm just thankful to have a seat on the plane. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I believe you died on the cross and you've risen from the grave. I want to see. Somebody was brought here today to be saved. More than one person. That's what we do at Hillview. We're a light church. That's why we have sinners in here. And we always will. I get tickled. Had a pastor come and said, you know, you got some people over at your church at sin. I'm like, are you smoking dope or something? I mean, are you really this theologically slow to understand that every church has got sinners in it? Some churches have better liars than other churches. And they appear to be without. You know why they appear to be without? Because they covered up with it. The greatest sin the devil's got is to make you think you're in the light when you're not. Well, let's stand. You're hearing him. He's drawing you. Only Jesus can save. If you need to be baptized, come on. If you need to just say, God, I want to see what you see. That's a great prayer today. And God will release you. Lord, this altar's open. And as people are coming right now, Lord, we thank you for them. Lord, I pray for those who will come and receive you, those who are going to be baptized, those who just need prayers of healing, those marriages that need to be re-strengthened, those lives that need hope. Lord, I pray for people that don't have a job. Lord, they say we're out of jobs in the world, but I bet you got some, Lord. Show them, let them pray and you show them what they can do. Lord, let us be willing to where we're unwilling. And Lord, let us to resist things that are killing us. Lord, just come into our lives and just share with us your hope, your power, your peace, your purpose. God, just light this place up. In the name of Jesus, this altar is being opened. It's being opened right now in the name of Jesus. Come on. Come on, church. Come on. Come on.